they're a strange noise.
I would get my gun. No, on one night, I told them that it was their mirror, yeah, the day mirror on the wall behind the dining table, and it fell. I don't think it broke. I think it's still there, but it's just like reaction. But I heard it, and that startled me, and I woke up. But I didn't know it was there. So obviously, I could hear something loud in the middle of the night, and I startled, wake up from it.
It's like a big mirror.
Yeah.
That's like the size of the wall person.
Yeah. I immediately got my gun. Very silently, like. I was ready to shoot someone.
That mirror, although I don't remember seeing it last time was my big show. Last time I was there, that mirror was in the bed.
Where?
So you have the crates by the door, and then you have the closet. Well, there's the wall that's right next to the closet to the left, behind the crates. They had it.
Yeah. I'd rather stick on to it.
that he has. I think he's like that. Thank you.
Welcome to Faithful Word Baptist Church. Very good to see you all here for our Wednesday night service. At this time, please find your seats and take a hymnal. Go to hymn number 14. We'll begin tonight. Hymn number 14, Kneel at the Cross. Hymn number 14, once you find your place, we'll begin together on that first now. Hymn number 14, Kneel at the Cross. Christ will meet you there. Hymn number 14. Lift your voice together on that first now. Hymn number 14. Blessing on the service. Let's go ahead and bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening. We give you thanks for allowing us the safety and the health to be here tonight. We thank you for allowing us to assemble and just to lift up our voice unto you. We just ask that you would meet with us at this time, that you would help us to worship you in spirit and in truth as we have opportunity to do so. And Lord, we just ask also your blessing upon the preacher tonight. Fill him with power, with your spirit, so that he may preach with authority and that we may have open hearts and ears to receive the message tonight. And Lord, that you would just have everything that's said and done, bring back the honor and the glory that you deserve for it. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 132 is next. Number 132, Never Alone. Hymn number 132, I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. 132. Never alone. Sing it out together now. 1, 3, 2. I sing. Oh,
All right, at this time we're going to pass out the bulletin. So if you need one, raise your hand. And somebody will come by and give you a bulletin as soon as they can. If you have it, please open it up. We'll just quickly go over the service times. You know, we have obviously Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and Sunday night as well. Service times are right there, right below that. It's our soul winning times. And at the very bottom of the left-hand page on the inside is the regional soul winning times and the salvation and baptisms for the year. Once again, we have a Father's Day weekend coming up. And we're also going to have a soul winning trip slash hike. So this is something that's going to take place on Friday, June 13th. And so you can see the schedule right there, 8 a.m. breakfast, 8:30 they leave the building, 11:30 they're going to have lunch in Flagstaff, and then 1 to 5 p.m. there will be some soul winning. And then the next day on Saturday, June 14th, there's going to be a hike to Mount Humphreys. The church vans will provide transportation on a first-come, first-served basis. The church will provide lodging for those who fully participate in Friday soul winning. And if you want more information, talk to Brother Ramon. If you want to RSVP, email us at faithforward1@gmail.com. Or you can talk to Brother Ramon and he'll take you, or he'll write you down. And besides that, the hike is going to be about 8 hours. You know, it has been said that it's a very difficult hike. It's suitable only for the physically very fit, whatever that means. It is 6 miles each way and very steep. There's also a shorter, easier hike nearby, or you can just partake on the hike as much as you can. However, if you are traveling with the church van and you're not intending to hike, you will be at the mountain all day long. So please turn your bulletin around. And we have an announcement. We have Pastor Dylan Oz coming to preach for us this Sunday. And this will be on May 25th for our morning and our evening service. And in case people are wondering where Pastor Anderson is, I'm sure you guys all probably know. But he's right now just on a vacation. He's with his family in Germany, slash also doing missions over in Germany, trying to get as many people as he possibly can save while also having some recreation with his family. And amen, he needs it. Roger that. So I'm very glad that he's able to enjoy a little bit of time. But also from Germany, he's going to go another missions trip to Greece. And it's going to be it's going to be soul winning in Greece as well. So he might as well take advantage since he's going to be in that part of the world. So he's going to be gone for about 3 weeks. I think we're already 1 week into it, but he'll be back soon. You ain't going to have to deal with me much. Amen. All right. So besides that, please pray for the expectant ladies, and our upcoming events are right there. Take a look at them when you get a chance. And let's go over the soul winning numbers as fast as we can. So if you got somebody saved on Monday, go ahead and raise your hand and give me a number starting on my left-hand side. Looks like we have no one on this side. And we have one back there. All right. On Monday, we got one. Any salvations for Monday? Tuesday. Any salvations for Tuesday? Four? Looking good. Make sure I write it down. One? All right. And today? Four? Three? Anybody else? Two? All right, we got two salvations right there. Anybody else? One? All right. Anyone? Anyone? All right, going once, going twice, we're good. All right, Brother Daniel.
All right, you should find the insert in front of your hymnal with Psalm 24. If you don't have an insert, please raise your hand. One of the ushers will hand you one, and we'll begin singing on that verse, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof."
Oh,
91, hymn number 91. Hiding in Thee, hymn number 91. This one begins, O save to the rock that is higher than I. Hymn number 91. Let your voice together now on that first hymn number 91.
Offering place, and while we're passing out the offering place, please turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 55. Isaiah chapter number 55.
Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
Our Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to hear your word preached once again. We ask that you'd fill Brother Segura with your spirit and give him wisdom and understanding as he preaches your word to us, Lord. We also lift up our pastor, Anderson, to you, Lord, and his family, Lord. We pray that you'd give him a great time of refreshment and keep him safe. We thank you for the great work that you're doing through Faithful Word Baptist Church. We love you, and we ask for your blessing now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Isaiah 55:8, the verse that I want to focus on. It is Isaiah 55:8 that says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And the title of my sermon is this: You're stinking thinking. You're stinking thinking. What do I mean by that? Well, let me explain. Stinking thinking, what is that? Well, as best I can explain, it's a simple way of saying bad or sinful thoughts. It means thinking in a negative, wrong, unbiblical way, having a mindset that leads you away from God, not towards Him, letting your mind be filled with doubt, pride, fear, lust, anger, bitterness, or lies. Here's some examples. Have you ever heard people say this? God doesn't care about me. How many times have you heard that out soul winning? Well, that's not coming from the mouth of God. There's some people that think that God hates them and doesn't want them to get saved. How many of you guys ever heard this? Well, if you only knew what I did in combat, bro. If you only knew, you know, you would realize that God, he hates me. He doesn't want me. But that's not what God says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Last time I checked, the world's not talking about the animals or the plants. It's talking about people. How about this one? I'll never change. Is that what God tells you to do? Never change? Last time I checked, God wants us to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. True? So for those people that are upset, oh, I like the old Pastor Anderson. This one has changed. Well, what do you want him to do? Disobey the word? Just stay the same, never grow, stay where he's at? I think he's gotten better. How about you? How about this? Sin isn't that bad. Come on, bro. God knows our hearts. Who's ever heard that? Well, that's your stinking thinking. Those aren't God's words. Those are your words. How about this? I hate that person and I'll never forgive them. Who's heard people say that? I have. Well, that's their stinking thinking. But that ain't coming from God, amen? See, God wants us to clean out the stinking thinking that we have in our hearts and replace it with the truth of his word. It's like having polluted thoughts that smell bad spiritually. That's what I'm saying is your stinking thinking. You know, they'll ruin your attitude, it's going to hurt your faith, and it's going to lead you into sin. And I don't know about you, but I got sick of sin real quick when I got saved. When I was 23, I was the average unsaved young guy. Once I started going to church and I started to read God's word and I started to see what God likes and what he doesn't like, I didn't want to stay the same. I wanted to grow as fast as I could. So I took advantage as much as I could of everything I possibly could have. And so one of the things that I started to do was just attend Bible studies. You know, with the assistant pastor, the pastor's actual son. And so once a week, on a Thursday, 10 lessons, 10 weeks, he's like, yeah, if anybody wants to grow, have a discipleship, one-on-one, hey, go ahead and sign up. I'm like, hey, I want to learn. So I signed up. I wasn't working at the time. I just got out the military. I was still on what they called, I forgot what it is, where they're still paying you, but for 30 more days in case something happens and they recalled you back. So I was just going to church, trying to learn, and it was what it was. I went to my first Bible study, and I don't know what he thought. Maybe he just noticed that my hair was getting a little too long for whatever reason, but the first topic was hair. And I'm thinking, hair? Really? The Bible talks about hair? And he explained that it is a shame for a man to have long hair, and I was like, what? Because I was already sick of military haircuts, and I had maybe 90 days before I had to go to the police academy. So I'm like, forget it. You know, I'm just going to grow my hair long, try to grow a beard. Still can't do it. You don't want to know what I look like when I let it grow for more than a day, amen. It starts looking really patchy, really weird. It's like, oh, man, I covet beards like Brother Varen's. He can grow one really good like Pastor. As long as you don't look like Osama bin Laden, hey, we're good. But besides that, hey, there was other, you know, opportunities to grow. And one of the other opportunities the church provided was a Friday night Bible study. It was called Reformers, I believe it is, Unanimous. Who's ever heard of Reformers Unanimous? One, two, yes, three. I was hoping nobody did. But either way, this was a program on Friday nights that was catered to helping you overcome sin. And one of the things that I've heard right away in that Bible study was this phrase. It's your stinking thinking, but this is what they were saying, that's going to lead you to drinking. Your stinking thinking is going to lead you to drinking. I'm like, absolutely true. Absolutely true. But I'm going to give you a few more. Not only will your stinking thinking lead you to drinking, maybe this will rhyme, maybe it won't, but your stinking thinking is going to lead you to inking your body, as in tattoos. Because like it says in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. We see that your thoughts matter. They matter to God. He says, forsake your ways, forsake your thoughts, return unto the Lord. And I like verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. You will never convince me that you reading the Bible is what convinced you to go get tattoos, especially one of a big fat snake on your arm. You will never convince me you got that from this book. No, my friend. You thought it was a cool idea to get tattoos, but let me tell you where those thoughts came from. Those thoughts didn't come from the Bible. They didn't come from God. Those were your thoughts, not his thoughts, your thoughts. And that goes with everything else. It's your stinking thinking that's going to lead you to drinking. It's your stinking thinking that's going to lead you to inking. And I got one more. Doesn't rhyme that good. Maybe I'll add a fourth one. It's your stinking thinking that's going to lead you to linking. Linking up with the wicked. You're not going to convince me that this book made you realize that it's totally okay to commit fornication. That it's totally okay as a young lady to start dating a divorced man, twice divorced, with kids with each baby mama. You're not going to convince me that you got that from this book. Absolutely not. Then where did it come from? It's your stinking thinking that led you to those sins. It was not the Word of God. It was your stinking thinking. Not God, your stinking thinking. Darn it, again. Oh, well, maybe God just wanted me to cut that part out. That's all right, I can yell. Oh, man, this thing disappeared. That's all right. I guess I got to go old school. Front of the jacket. Last time my wife was trying to get my attention, I'm like, well, next time do jumping jacks. What the heck? How bad do you love me? Gonna let your man over here get all embarrassed and stuff? Preacher went on microphone, microphone's down in his belt buckle and everything. Come on, love. Do take one for the team. But what I was saying was that we need to realize that the majority of the time when we get into sin, it's not God's thoughts that are popping into your brain. It's the ones you have in your heart. That's what's causing you to go into sin. You ain't going to convince me that it's okay for somebody to go out there and start doing drugs. Name the drug. Whether it's crystal meth, whether it's marijuana, whether it's LSD, you ain't going to convince me that that came from this book. And unfortunately, we've had people from this church who has gotten into those sins, and yet they want to claim that they know the word, they've read the word, they understand the word, and that you guys aren't the only ones that understand scripture. Well, apparently you don't. Trying to gaslight us, convince us that no, it's our dumb thinking, you know, that made them leave. You guys are just too judgmental. Well, I'm not judging. I'm just telling you what the judge says. Amen. No ink upon your flesh. Stay sober. Amen. But one of the things that this program did is it gave us principles. Principles to help you break bad habits. In other words, sin. And one of the principles, I'm going to go through six as fast as I can. I'm 10 minutes in. I'm trying to get through as much as I can. Obviously, it is what it is. It's a Wednesday night. I know you're tired. I know some of you came from work. So it is what it is. I'm going to do my best to try to preach the best sermon I can and give you something to go home with and think about. But already, I think the title will make you think about this sermon for a while. Amen. Next time you start thinking of something, hey, you better cast that imagination down before it gets worse and worse and worse. But let me give you one principle. The first principle that they taught us is one that I remember to this very day. When I think of the RU program, the Reformers Anonymous, this is the first thing that pops in my head, and I have used this many times to help me just overcome sin. When I have moments of weakness and I repeat this principle, it's like, no. Principle number one, if God is against it, so am I. If God is against it, so am I. Hey, you want to have a victorious Christian life? There's a lot of things you're going to need to start changing in your brain. And one of them is, if God's against something, you better be as well. This is why you have to know this word. You have to read this word. That's why you have to come to church. The more you come to church, the more you read the word, the more you'll know what God is against and what he's for. So you're not confused or easily offended when you hear something you never heard before. And it turns out if you just read the proverb of the day, you probably would have figured it out. But what we need to remember is that if God's against something, it's going to be foolish of you to not be against that. You have to learn that if God's against it, that includes our thoughts. Amen. Whatever it is that you're thinking, make sure it aligns with the Word of God. Okay, he's walking, so my mic is still good. All right. So besides that, let me just give you some verses. Romans 12:2 says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a good verse. You know, if God obviously is against it, this is one of them where God wants you to be different. He says you're a new creature, and he wants you to understand that there's certain things that God hates him, and he wants us to hate him as well. For example, Romans 12:9 says that, hey, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. God wants us to cleave to that which is good. And one good way is to keep listening to preaching. You're going to know what's good. You're going to know what's bad. Keep reading the word as much as you can. You're going to learn right from wrong. And simply put, where it says abhor that which is evil, this is what abhor means. It means to hate strongly. To hate strongly. Could you say that about sin? Do you hate sin that strong? We can say I abhor sin. If not, pray that God will help you. I remember the story that Pastor gave once when he was preaching. I forgot what sermon it was, what the topic was about. I'm sure it was about sinning or something. But here's what he said. He said that he prayed, and he said, God, help me to hate sin. Just help me to hate it. I don't hate it enough. I'm worldly. He preached that as a teenager, I believe. Well, we can all look back now and say, you know what? I think God answered that prayer. But that's what God wants for all of us. He wants us all to not just be against sin, but abhor it, hate it. God tells us not to tolerate it, not to accept evil, but to hate it, just like he hates it. If God says something is evil, hey, we are to abhor it. No excuses. Don't ignore it. Don't try to be neutral. It's only going to go bad for you. So just remember, if God is against it, we must be against it as well. Here are a few more verses that support this. Psalms 97:10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Enough said. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way in the froward mouth do I hate. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Amos 5:15, hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. And one powerful story that illustrates this, you know, if God's against this, so am I, is the story of Phinehas in Numbers 25. Who knows what I'm talking about? Go to Numbers 25:6 if you can. Go to Numbers 25:6. And listen, we're all at a different stage of our Christian walk. Some are babes, you could say. Some have been here for 2 or 3 years. Some have been here for 10 years. Some have been here close to 20 years. You know, we all have different stages. But keep improving. Keep improving. Keep getting better. Keep doing what's right. And I guarantee you, you're going to end up at some point waking up and thinking, man, you know, I've come a long way from when I first started coming to church, from when I first got saved. But hopefully you can go from being a baby in Christ to being like Phinehas here in this story. You're right there in Numbers 25. Let's go to verse number 6. It says, and behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. Just skip a little bit. While they were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, verse 7, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, verse number 8, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through. And I'll just finish reading. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and Phinehas, he turned, the Bible says, God says, he turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake. Verse 13, and he shall have it and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God. Not a really popular story, I think. I think it's mostly popular in Baptist churches, because this is a story of a guy who was so zealous that he actually got sick of somebody that was sinning so bad that he took his own life. Now, I'm not saying to go around killing fornicators, because that's not what God wants in 2025. But this was open sin. And in case you haven't figured it out, I guarantee you, hey, if you're human, you probably have some sins you're struggling with. You know what? Do yourself a favor and never rub them in our faces like this guy. Because you know what? I heard this a long time ago when I first started going to church and the preachers were warning us that God judges open sin a lot quicker than a sin that somebody's struggling with behind the scenes. Because God loves you. He doesn't want to embarrass you. He's letting you get it right. He's long-suffering towards us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But when you're at the point where you're not just wicked, you're also causing other people to be wicked, and then you're rubbing it in other people's faces, you better believe the judgment is going to come a whole lot quicker. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, may not be next year, and may not be the year after that, but your life is but a vapor. And if it comes in the next 10 years, I would say that is fast. People may not think so, but I think if somebody gets punished in the next 10 years, that's pretty fast. But even if it takes 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90, I mean, how old is Joe Biden? He's been wicked for a while. He's been promoting the LGBT agenda for a while. He's been pushing Catholicism for a while. And the fact that he's gone this long shows that he's not a child, he's a bastard. Because he had not received any chastisement in all those 50 years of him just being a bot politician. But now, it's time to pay the piper. And I wouldn't want to be him for all the money in the world. Because the cancer that he has, I don't think he's going to make it to the end of the year. He's going to be gone very, very soon. But ever since I've been hearing about Joe Biden, man, till now, it's actually gone pretty fast in my opinion. So be careful that you're not this fornicating fool that's rubbing his sin in people's faces. Why? Because it is what it is. The guy's a wicked individual. But you know what? There was somebody that was against this because God was against it. And for people to say, man, do you think he went overboard? I don't think so, because God blessed him in this generations. Now, of course, we have different rules, different laws. Don't go around doing this. But at the end of the day, back in the day, it seems like, hey, God, he wasn't mad at this action. And he was even saying that because of this person, my wrath was stopped. So in a way, we can thank him for his service. Amen. And a lot of times, people don't ever give Christians credit. They may look at us as the bad guys. They like giving the military credit. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. But you know what? I'll say to everyone here on a Wednesday night, I'll say to everyone who's righteous, living for the Lord, that goes soul winning, you know what? Thank you for your service. Because last time I checked, it ain't the military that exalted the nation. It's righteousness that exalted a nation. So to the Democrats and the Republicans, you know what? Hey, you can thank me for my service whenever you want. Because if we stop being righteous, you think it's bad now. You think Biden was bad. Hey, let's just have all the Christians backslide when they see what happens. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just warning you that we know why God blesses this nation. Righteousness is what makes this nation great. No matter where you are, Africa, you name it, you live for the Lord, guess what's going to happen? God's going to bless you. And because of your deeds, he may bless your nation. Because he knows if he curses it, it's going to affect you. But if you're living for the Lord, just like Noah, if the whole world just goes astray, at least you can save yourself and your family by being what in his eyes? Righteous. And God will have grace in you. Amen? So obviously the Israelites, they were sinning by mixing with the heathen, committing fornication. But, you know, Phinehas, this one guy, this bold guy, hey, or this other guy was sinning in public, and this guy came and he decided, hey, if God's against it, so am I. And he ended up pretty much taking care of business. So besides the first principle, if God's against it, you know, so am I. The second principle is this. Every sin has its origin in our hearts. Every sin has its origin in our hearts. We need to realize that that's where it all starts. If people were to come to me and say, Brother Segura, I want to get my life straight. Brother Segura, I want to start living for the Lord. Brother Segura, I'm sick of living a destructive life. How can I start fixing myself? Where do I begin? You know what I'm going to say? You can begin with your stinking thinking. What do you mean? You need to start getting the mind right. Because the body does what the mind tells it to do. And so you got to fix that. And how do you do it? Well, you can start by realizing what's right and what's wrong. Once again, it's through the word. Once again, God gives you a conscience where you can tell, hey, this isn't right. You don't really have to be told every little thing that's wrong in this world. God gave you a brain. As long as you haven't fried it with drugs, it should work enough so you can at least have a conscience to tell you no to certain things. But we need to be careful, trust in our heart. That's what I would tell someone. They would be like, Brother Segura, how can I start fixing my life? Where can I begin? Where can I start? I'm a disaster right now. Yeah, start with your stinking thinking. And here's a verse for you, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately what? Wicked. Wicked. Who can know it? Everybody in this room has this heart. So you need to do your best to control it or it's going to control you. So when you realize that, it kind of gives you a wake-up call. Above all things? Yes, above all things. The devil? Yes. It says above all things. More wicked than the devil is our heart. Really? More than that shady car salesman at the lot? Yes, more desperately wicked than that guy. So your biggest enemy is the guy you look at in the mirror every morning. That's the guy you need to worry about. Not people on the internet talking smack. The guy in front of you. That's the guy you need to smack. Get the beam out of your eye. Then you can help us all take the mold out of ours. Because you're not just here to just live life and die. I mean, how many of you guys, I don't mean to embarrass you, how many of you guys want to be great, known as great in God's eyes? It's okay if you don't. Well, if you want to be great, you got two requirements. Those that do and teach shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus says. But if you break one of these least commandments and you teach men so, you shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. So you want to be great? Start with what? Yourself. Start what? Obeying. Those that do. What's next? Teach. Who can I teach? Our soul winning. That's a good start. Amen. Ladies, you're not going to be preaching any time behind this pulpit, amen, but you can teach your kids, right? The virtuous woman, Bible study here and there, might go far, so let's step it up. You want to be great? Got to do those two things, those that do and teach. So I'm here to teach you that, listen, your biggest enemy is you. Take the beam out of your face, work on yourself, start getting it under control. It's not Obama, it's not the world, it's not the Sodomites. I saw this video where some Republican was freaking out. He's like, why do you want Donald Trump in power so much? Because the Democrats are trying to turn me gay. The Democrats are trying to turn you gay? He's like, you think they can do it? No, no, not me. I'll never be gay, but they're trying to make me gay. That's what this guy said. I'm like, well, if I was standing right there, he's like, you know what? If I had to worry about something, is not carnal things. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The world's trying to brainwash you. The devil's trying to brainwash you. What I mean by the world, unsaved people trying to brainwash you. The devil's trying to brainwash you. His minions are trying to brainwash you. And it's going to work if you don't get your face in the Word of God and do your best to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Perfect example of someone who the devil caused to fall was Eve. Got her to start thinking about the wrong things. Started to twist the Word of God. Make her start doubting the Word of God. And if you got your Bible, just go to Genesis 3:4. If you can get there. If not, no worries. I'm going to start reading. But I guess if you can, you can meet me in verse number 6. I'll slowly, if I can, read verse 4 to give you time to get there. Genesis 3:4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw, see, that's where it kind of starts as well. Be careful what you're looking at. It's not just your stinking thinking, it's your stinking seeing. Just seeing if you're paying attention. So it says in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And isn't that what happens when we get into sin? We don't become bold, we become cowards. Because what? The wicked flee when no man pursueth. You want to be strong, you want to be bold, you know what? Steroids ain't going to do it. Lifting at the gym 4 hours a day isn't going to do it. Yeah, you may get physically strong, but more important than that is being mentally strong. Last time I checked, David wasn't scared of the giant at all. He didn't walk towards the giant. He ran towards the giant. Why? Because he had a strong mind. He had a spiritual mind. Because he was able to bring every thought to the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Imagine if he would have thought, well, what if God doesn't step in this time? Then next thing you know, he may not be as bold. But it was his mindset. It wasn't his physical fitness. That wasn't what got him to be so brave. It was his mindset. And that's what we need to remember. You want to have a strong mindset? You have to think spiritually. Yeah, you can probably get a little bit of mental strength when you're big and buff and you're like, yeah, I can take care of myself. Baby, come hold my arm, honey. I'll show you. But at the end of the day, we got to make sure that our mind is stronger. And this is what's going to keep you from falling. is knowing the word of God. And this is what happened to Eve. She started to doubt it. She started to misquote it because God never said, hey, if you touch it, you're going to die. He says, if you eat of it, you're going to die. I'm 29 minutes in. Don't worry, I'm going to wrap it up. But she's a perfect example of what can happen to us as well. If we start doubting God's word and we're misquoting it because we don't have it down like we should, we start thinking about things that we shouldn't. And it all started with her seeing. And next thing you know, she's thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. And like principle number two says, every sin has its origin in our hearts. Let's move on. Principle number three, it is easier to keep the heart clean than to clean it after it has been defiled. Romans 8:7 says this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. If you end up having a carnal mind, you're at war with God. You don't like the things of God. You'll read the word and you'll be all offended by the word of God. Why? Because you don't love the word of God. Great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. It doesn't mean that nothing in this world is going to offend you. It means nothing in the word of God is going to offend you. Every little law, everything you read, everything you see, you're just smiling and loving it as you're going from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. But when you're worldly, you're filled with the world, you got worldly thoughts, you ain't thinking the Brothers and Girls sermon is so hot right now. You're counting down like, man, hurry up. I got my favorite show tonight. I want to go back to bumping my favorite music. Hurry up. Speed it up. Let's row. Come on now. Take it to the bank. If that's what you're thinking right now, you're a cardinal, brother. Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What does that mean? What you think about the most is what you're going to become. Once again, it's your thoughts that are going to lead you into sin. It's God's thoughts that are going to keep you away from sin. It's your stinking thinking that leads you to drinking. It's your stinking thinking that leads you into what? Inking. You're going to tattoo yourself thinking you're so cool. Why? Because your mind is warped. Like it says in Proverbs, as you think in your heart, so are you. If you think having tattoos is going to make you cool, you're going to get them. And obviously, there's a lot of people in this building that has tattoos. Hey, I love you to death. I'm not even tripping about you. I'm just trying to warn everyone else. Hey, if you think tattoos are cool, it's because you're a fool. The Bible didn't teach you that. That's your stinking thinking. Those are your words coming out of your heart. Those are not the words of God coming out of the word. It's just not happening. And listen, I know it can happen because I was worldly as well. There was a point when I thought tattoos were awesome. There's a time when I almost got a tattoo. I was at the tattoo parlor. Why? Because my brain was warped. And for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. In my heart, I thought I would be even more cool getting a tattoo. I saw this movie once, and the actor had a tattoo from his neck all the way to his wrist, a tribal tattoo. And it's a little bit muscular. He gets out of a Porsche. And I'm just like, wow, that looks stinking cool. You know, it's like, I think I want to do that. I'm in the Marines, 18, 19 years old. Everybody's getting tattoos. I'm like, man, you know what? What's up, bro? That guy looks so cool, man. You know what? Let me go see what they got. Go with my buddy, one tattoo artist. Who's going first? He's ready. I'm not. I start looking at the posters, trying to find my perfect tattoo, and then I see it. Woo! Yeah, nothing says America like an eagle that's a tribal design. Yeah, baby. That's the one I want. Big, bad eagle right here, all the way down to my elbow. And we're working my forearm, but I don't think I can handle so much pain, so we'll just start here, all right? And then I'm waiting, I'm sitting, I'm waiting, I'm ready. I got my card, I got money, I'm ready to do this. The other guy, my buddy, he's just sitting in his chair. One hour passes, 2 hour passes. Man, I start getting the munchies. And I'm like, bro, finally he's done. And they put a little plastic thing on him. They're like, don't touch it. So what's the first thing I do? Touch it. Boy, did he hit me hard. I didn't realize it hurt that bad. But I just touched it like, boom, ow, bam. He punches me in the chest. Sorry, bro. What are you doing, stupid? That hurts. And then I'm thinking, maybe I shouldn't get one. But the guy's like, you ready, bro? And I'm like, I am, but I think I'm going to faint if I start getting stabbed, bro. I'm hungry. Let me go get something to eat. So I did. Then you know what happens when you eat. What happened to me this afternoon? Stomach starts to hurt. I ate too fast. I'm trying to get back to the tattoo shop. Next thing you know, I'm just like, oh, man, I don't know. I feel so tired. Let's go do another day. So I didn't get a tattoo that night. Then I'm at the chow hall on base, and I see some dude walking by with the tattoo that I wanted, and I'm looking at him like, whoa, is that what it looks like after a few weeks? That thing looks faded. Like, what? Like, dude, nah, I think I'll wait. And I wasn't against tattoos until guess when? I started going to church. And then guess what was the next Bible study the following week? Tattoos. Tattoos. And he shows me the verse in Leviticus. No ink, nothing. I'm like, wow, I didn't know they were sinful. Nope. If God says no, that means no. And I'm like, whoa, I'm glad I didn't get one. Feel bad for my brother because he did get one. I feel bad for my other brother because he did get one. So I'm thinking, man, well, I'm glad I didn't get one because I was still pro getting one. I was even thinking, once I'm a police officer, just get it up to the wrist because they say as long as you wear long sleeves, you're good. But praise the Lord, I never got one. Now I despise them. I don't despise people that have them, but I just the thought of just tattoos just makes me sick. When women get tattoos, I'm sorry, but it makes you uglier. It doesn't make you better. And I'm not saying if you got tattoos, you're an ugly woman. I'm not saying that. I know. But here's what I am saying. That anybody that tells a girl, wow, you look awesome with those tattoos, guess what? That's his stinking thinking. That ain't God's thinking. That's his stinking thinking. Because guys that are right with the Lord, we despise that because it's sin. You're a walking billboard for sin. We don't think you're pretty. We're thinking, man, what the heck? Like, I like to punch the tattoo artist that ruined that body. They didn't make it better, made it uglier. Even the smallest tattoo, it's just like you look at it, and it's just like sin. Disobedience, rebellion. Now, I'm merciful unto the unsaved. They're ignorant. They don't know any better. But as God's people, if God's against it, so should we. And if you're not, you need to get right and stay right. That's why I want you guys to remember that it's your thoughts that are going to ruin your life more than anything else. So we need to be careful before we make that crucial decision like Eve and destroy her husband's life, everybody's life. Everybody blames Eve, but you know what? Adam, what's up, bro? You're in trouble too. But we need to realize that, hey, listen, God's against it. We must be against it as well. And every single sin starts in our thoughts. So we need to cast it down when it pops in our head. Start thinking of something else. You use what you want. Sometimes I use verses. You know, my favorite verse to use when sin starts creeping into my brain is Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I keep reminding myself, no, man, I don't just take myself down. I take everyone around me down. I need to just hurry up and get that thing out of my heart. Sometimes I use just a saying. This is what I say. You know what? Heck no. I'm not going to help people go to hell. That's one of the things that keeps me from wanting to continue with my little thought life or continuing whatever little sin I have. I just remind myself, no, you know what? I don't want to help people go to hell. What do I mean by that? Listen, if you don't take care of that little sin, it can get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where next thing you know, you could be committing something serious and then your life is over. Like snorting a line or something, or drinking that first whatever beer. Next thing you know, you're drunk, you're driving, and you kill yourself or you kill someone else. Now, who's going to win souls? For my illustration, I was thinking of getting the barbell that I have over there and throwing the 300 pounds that we have over there and asking for some volunteers to stand up here and hold it over their heads. And then one by one, I was going to say, okay, you can take a seat. Okay, now you take a seat. Now you take a seat to the point where I was going to get the muscular guys, okay? I'm not that dumb. You know, I was going to get you, and I was going to get you. Okay, I was going to get you too, okay? Don't feel left out. All right? And then I was going to get whoever looked like they got some muscles because I wanted you guys to kind of realize that, hey, those 300 pounds, that's God's mission for us, you could say. You know, it's like, hey, that's God's will for our lives. And obviously, God's will for our church is to seek and to save those which are lost, to go reach all these people out there. And if one person is gone, it gets harder on the rest of us. If another person just gets backslidden and leaves, that weight gets even harder on us. Everybody is important. Don't get yourself kicked out of church because you get bitter, backslidden, start railing on people, and then we got to tell you to go. Because believe it or not, we don't want you to go. We want everybody to stay. We pray that everybody stays. But you know what? The reality is that the devil's that good. And we need to be careful when we start having stinking thoughts. We need to cast them down before it gets too late. Amen? Don't worry, I'm 39 minutes in. I'm going to wrap it up. So that was the third principle. I didn't really get to finish it. But how do you clean your way? Psalms 119, just a preview. Psalms 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word." You know, so the Christian life is won or lost in the mind. What you think leads to what you do. Perfect example is David and Bathsheba. I'm not going to have you go to those verses, but we know what happened with him. Once again, what is principle number three? It's easier to keep the heart clean than to clean it after it's been defiled. Not only did he commit adultery, did he get right? No, he didn't. He got worse. Instead of confessing and forsaking and getting right with the Lord, he got worse. He went from adultery to what? Murder. Because he just wasn't cleaning his heart. It was getting dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And we need to be careful. Because the mind, they say, is like a toilet. You got to keep flushing it to keep that sucker clean. Amen. So you can't stop every wicked thought from entering your brain. Just like we can't control the thoughts of our children. I can control their actions, but I'm hoping they get to the point where internally they're controlling their thoughts. When they get tempted, I hope on the inside they're doing everything they can to resist temptation. And the Bible says if you do, you'll be blessed. Blessed is the man that endured temptation. So it's worth it. God will bless you. He sees you. He can read your thoughts. He read the thoughts of the Pharisees. Who can forgive sins but God? Who is this man speaking blasphemy? And it angered the Lord because he was able to hear their thoughts. And he can hear your thoughts. So that way you can pray anytime you want. So you can talk to him internally. He hears you. He can hear your thoughts. He can hear you talking in your little brain. So, of course, when you're calling out to him, "God, I'm tempted right now. Help me out. You know, give me strength. Help me. Give me the power to just, you know, stop lusting right now," whatever the case may be. He's going to help you unless you got sin in your life, but he will help you. And we need to be careful not to end up like David, where it was just like, oh, he saw a woman. You guys know the story. She was showering. Then guess what? That's where the thought crept in. He didn't clean his heart. If he would have just confessed it and forsook it, "Lord, I'm sorry for staring at this woman. I shouldn't have done that. That was wicked." Of course, we know that he knows that was wrong because he's the one that said, "I was saying no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them to turn aside. It should not cleave unto me." But he continued to just get worse and worse from staring at her, inviting her, hanging out with her. The next thing you know, not a shocker, commits adultery. Gets her pregnant, gets even worse. Instead of, I don't know what we would have done at that point, but one thing we all know he should have never done is murdered the husband. But he did. And this was a saved man, a God-fearing man. So if it can happen to him, it can happen to all of us. But how did it start with him? Easy. He got the thought in his heart, and he didn't clean it. He didn't cleanse it. He kept rolling with it until it was too late. And that can happen to every single one of us. We need to take heed lest we fall. Amen? Principle number four. It's not possible to fight a fleshly appetite by indulging in it. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You cannot satisfy the flesh by feeding it. Lust grows when you indulge in it. Victory comes not by giving in, but by starving the fleshly appetite until it dies. Translation: I have a problem with TV. You got to figure out a way to get rid of it. You got to kill that appetite. My favorite shows are really bad. You got to stop watching the shows. What do I do? If your hand offends you, cut it off. No, I'm just kidding. But the principle is true. Cut it off. Whatever it is, cut it out. Throw it away. But you have to replace it with something godly, or else you're going to go back to it. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you. I've tried and I tried and I tried when I was going to church to get rid of rap music. I was addicted to rap music. I was addicted to Eminem. I was addicted to 50 Cent. His album just came out and the club was bumping everywhere. I'm like, you know what? I got to get rid of this. And I knew it was bad, but I couldn't get rid of it. I was addicted. I just listened to it as much as I could. Even to this day, I'm tempted by it. Hey, just being honest with you. But I remember this one day, I'm just driving and the club is bumping in my truck, Big Fat Stereo System. I'm with my cousins and I'm just driving and I'm saved and my heart's getting grieved and I know I'm backslidden and I know I'm being wicked at this time. I'm being a bad influence to my little cousins. And next thing you know, I just push eject, grab the CD back when they had CDs, roll down the window and I tossed it out the window. No amen, because 2 weeks later I went and bought a new one. Bum, 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 bum. Back to my sins. Why? Because I didn't clean my heart like I should have. My wife was trying to help me at the time. Listen to this. I'm like, okay, sure, no problem. Gave me Christian CDs, and I didn't really give it a chance because I didn't want to listen to it. But that's what we need to understand. We need to keep our heart clean and keep it clean. Keep flushing that mind, amen, because it's a toilet. Principle number 5, small compromises lead to great disasters. I'll quickly wrap it up. I'm 45 minutes in. 1 Corinthians 5:4 says this, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when ye are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Let me repeat that again. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Sweat the little things is what it's saying. Because the little things will become big things. So you need to be careful compromising. Because it can lead to big disasters. And I don't know of the best Bible example I can think of, but I think of Lot. All Lot wanted to do was the right thing. He decided, hey, we got too much stuff, Uncle Abraham, we need to split. Hey, I agree. Abraham was the bigger man. You take the left, I'll take the right. You take the right, I'll take the left. Whatever the case may be. But he didn't think spiritually. He thought financially. Well, you know what? If I go this route, it's watered nice and pretty. Oh, man. You know what? He probably should have just gave it to his uncle if he was the bigger man. It's like, no, I'm rich because of you, Unc. You know what? You go take that nice land over there. You take care of that. I'll take this one. He put himself first, and it got worse. Next thing you know, he's looking at Sodom. Next thing you know, he's in Sodom. He compromised. He should have just done the right thing and let Abraham take the best piece of land. Who knows how his life would have turned out. But that small little compromise of being what? Selfish. Destroyed his family. Hey, let's just learn from this man because he was righteous according to the Bible. Principle number 5, just said it. Small compromises lead to great disasters. Hey, that little thought you just have in your heart, that little whatever foolish thought, you better get rid of it before it's too late because that's where it starts. It starts in the heart. And once again, don't blame God. Well, I just feel that God wants me to. No, 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 no. That's your stinking thinking. That ain't God's words. Your words are not his words. Your ways are not his ways. You better do it his way because your way is wicked. Principle number 6. This is the last one, but it's an obvious one. Those who do not love the Lord will not help us serve the Lord. Once again, those who do not love the Lord will not help us serve the Lord. How do you know if somebody loves the Lord? Oh, that is easy. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his what? His commandments. So somebody says, I love God and is walking in sin, it's a liar. Anybody says, I love God but hates his brother in Christ, it's a liar. And that person, you need to cut them off until they get right and stay right. Because if you let him come back, he's going to ruin you. It may seem like something that, hey, it's a no-brainer, but John 15:9 says this, if you are of the world, the world will love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. These are unsaved people. No need to hang out with them, because at the end of the day, hey, if you're really who you are, they're not part of you. You're not part of them. They just don't love you. And it'll be a blessing when you stop hanging around foolios, when you stop hanging around those that don't love the Lord, when you stop listening to those that don't love the Lord. And it could be physically or through your phone. Let's just be honest. You can tell who's been listening to the wrong person by the things that come out of their mouth, by how easily they get offended of stuff that's not even offensive to those that love God and keep His commandments. So let's just be careful spending our time, giving the devil our time, you know, with his minions and his prophets. We need to be careful that we listen to the right people, because those people that are maybe got something decent to say, they always have some poison to throw at you somehow, some way. Because they will love nothing more than for you to just stop serving the Lord, because now it's less souls, it's harder than the rest of us, and we got to do our best to stay right, get right. Amen. And Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So worldly friends will not help you walk with God. And ladies, hey, if your boyfriend is causing you to do sinful things, leading you in the wrong direction, he don't love you. He just don't. Let me be the first to tell you this. He don't. The guy who wants you to do right is the one that you should go with. Because they will try to pull you back with those that don't walk with the Lord. So really quick, how can we prevent our brain from getting out of control? Well, you have to be careful with what not only you see, but also what you hear. Because what you hear can also affect you in negative ways. When the mind is right, you know your actions are going to be right. And like they always say, you are not who you think you are, but what you think you are. Whatever you listen to the most, that's what you're probably going to end up becoming. You listen to wicked people, that's what you're going to end up becoming. You listen to righteous people, you're probably going to end up the same way. It's just how life is. Proverbs 23:7 says this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. In order for a Christian to alter your behavior, you have to think differently. You have to start doing things differently. Drugs, alcohol, all that stuff, it's just going to mess you up. And if you ever think, oh, well, God understands, no, he doesn't. If he understands you're being rebellious and wicked. God knows my heart. He knows I'm weak. He understands you need a whooping. That's for sure. And you're going to get one if you don't repent. Because at the end of the day, Saul was saying the same thing. I am obeying the Lord. I am. But was he? No. Was God on his side? No. Was God hearing them? No. And it blows my mind how you can see people's Facebooks. They come across your path, and these are people claiming to be right with God, and they're doing the craziest stuff, and you're thinking to yourself, yep, is their stinking thinking that's making them drink? Is their stinking thinking that's making them get tattoos? Is their stinking thinking that's making them hang out with the wrong people, linking up with the wrong people? It ain't God's thoughts. It's their own thoughts. But they're too blind to see it. And you got to be careful, because your mind is like a computer. Whatever you put in it, guess what? It's gonna do something to you. You put 30 hours of TV in your brain, guess what's going to happen? You're going to act like the world. You're going to talk like the world. You're going to think like the world. You're going to vote like the world. And we're just standing by wondering, like, man, it all started somewhere. Hopefully you can figure it out before it's too late. But that's what we all have to realize, that we need to start transforming our brain. Yeah, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't worry, I'm 52 minutes in. I try to finish before an hour. Does anybody know why? Try to finish under an hour? Anybody? Yeah, I probably think it's because Pastor told me an hour, that's all you have. No. It's because of TikTok, baby. If it goes over an hour, you can't upload it. So I got to keep this thing at 59 minutes and 59 seconds, or, you know, TikTok's going to be like, nope, too long, buddy, try again. But listen, you're either one of these three minds in this building right now. You're either the natural mind. Let me explain what that is. That's an unsaved person. I don't know who you are, but God does. I'm not going to be dumb enough to say that we don't have infiltrators in this church. Hey, if you're a good church, if you're a church that's on fire, if you're a church that the devil hates, you bet your butt we got tares in this room right now. And this is the natural mind. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. This is a non-Christian, no spiritual appetite for the things of God. He cannot comprehend spiritual truth. He is dead in trespasses and sins, like Ephesians 2:1 says. He may outwardly be religious and morally clean, but cannot comprehend the Christian life. His thoughts will be what is right in his own eyes, situational ethics, humanism, whatever. The natural man thinks whatever comes natural to a lost person, you know what? That's how they usually act. This is why we have Mr. Pothead, you know, prophet, talking about how, like, God's chosen me. And then the stuff that comes out of his mouth is crazy. He's lying, going around, telling people that we kicked him out. And then at the same breath, he's like, and then even tell me where to go. Can you believe how wicked they are? They kicked me out of church, and then he tell me even where to go. Hey, numbness, when we kicked you out of church, we don't want you to go anywhere. We want you to get destroyed by the devil so you can get right. But this is somebody who's filled with the Spirit of God that can't even realize what they're saying. Why would we tell you to go somewhere else and cause drama? When we kick you out, you're done. You can't go anywhere. Yeah, go hide in another church, but you're still under a curse. The other person, I'm 55 minutes in. Don't worry, TikTok. You ain't going to get me this time. The carnal mind. That's the worldly Christian. Romans 5:8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Nothing did can it be. A carnal means of the flesh. The carnal mind is the same person who lives for the flesh. The church at Corinth was full of carnal Christians. Paul called them babies. He said that they can only swallow the milk of the word. You know, they have to be taught when they should have been teaching. They were cliquish, immature, divisive, easily offended. The Christian with a carnal mind is not satisfied in Christ the law. He chases after things, amusements, and delightments rather than the things of God. He is quarrelsome, touchy, and often is a source of church problems. He has a feeble digestion. He cannot get his own food spiritually. These scriptures do not interest him. This is very little difference, if any, between a natural man and a carnal-minded man. The lost see no difference and have no conviction when around a carnal-minded Christian. The carnal mind needs to get right with God and stay right with God. And then hopefully this is the majority of our church, which I believe it is. It's the spiritual mind. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says this, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. This is a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit, has a mind full of scriptures. He is mature, has understanding of spiritual things, has the ability to teach other Bible truths, and is fruitful. He has the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Not your mind, his mind. So let's remember that when you start thinking stupid thoughts, those are sinful thoughts. Confess them and forsake them. Say, Lord, don't let these thoughts get worse. Please forgive me for even having that thought, whatever thought it may be, lust, whatever, you name it. God knows exactly what you're thinking 24/7. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That's why don't worry about our haters, because God's beholding the evil and our good. And he's going to make sure they get what they deserve, and he's going to make sure we get what we deserve. But you're never going to do that and think spiritually. You're going to end up panicking when people are after you. And you know what? That's what I said earlier, that, hey, people attacking us, it humbles us when you know people are out to destroy you. They're not just out to make fun of you. They want to destroy you. They want to destroy your church. They want to destroy everything you guys are doing because they hate you, they despise you, and we need to have the right mindset to deal with these people. And when you're in a panic, that's not coming from God. That's your stinking thinking, and you need to get right, amen? Let's go. Dear Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done, Lord. Obviously, Father, you're the one that has given us so much, and yet, Lord, you keep giving us more. And we ask you, Lord, tonight to just bless everyone that's here and ask you, dear Father, to strengthen everybody's mind, get them to get more serious about your word, get them to get more serious about memorizing your scripture, and help us, Lord, to do big and great things for you, Lord, in this year and the years to come. And we ask you to do all this for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, take your hymnals, please. Go to hymn number 152, hymn number 152. We'll sing the hymn entitled Security. Hymn number 152. More secure is no one ever than the loved ones of the Savior. Is how this begins. Number 152. Sing it out.
More secure is no one ever than the loved ones of the Savior.